as you say I'm in, have the consciousness that the blessing I said was said by you.
Donald.
Hi, good evening.
Hello,
good evening.
I'm started, so hopefully you can hear me.
We do.
Feel free to ask questions anytime, because this is a teaching reading. Baruch Ata Adonai Yohei Wahei Yohei Dawanu Heyo Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav Wetzivanu Al Divrei Mikra Megillah. Baruch Ata Adonai Yohei Wahei Yohei Dawanu Heyo Eloheinu Melech Haolam She'asa Nisim La'avoteinu Bayamim Hahem Bazman Hazeh. Baruch Ata Adonai Yohei Wahei Yohei Dawanu Heyo Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehecheyanu Wekiyamanu Vehigiyanu Lazman Hazeh.
Amen.
The Megillah Esther. Megillah means scroll. Esther is the name of the heroine in the story. But they have deeper meanings. Megillah means revealed. And Esther means sealed. So the Megillah Esther, which we are reading tonight, is the revelation of the concealed. And as I mentioned earlier, Hashem's name does not appear in the scroll, in the story, except in a coded way. And when we get to chapter 5, verse 5, if I forget, please ask me to stop and explain where that name is and how to reveal it. Chapter 1, I will read only the first verse in Hebrew. Vayehi bimei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, ha-melech, mei hodu v'ad kos, sheva v'ezrim u'mea medina. Now it came to pass in the days of Achashverosh. This is Achashverosh, who reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. Do you really care why there's 127 provinces? The answer is you do. Because there's another place in the Torah itself that uses the number in the same way, 127. And that is in the age that Sarah reached when she died. And this is to come to explain to us that Esther is a reincarnation of Sarah. And we will explain when Esther corrects the sin of Sarah. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of the kingdom, which was in Shushan, the castle, Shushan was his capital, but he moved it from the previous king's castle, or Sid capital, because he wanted to build a throne like the throne that King Solomon had. But the only artisans in his territory that were capable of doing that lived in Shushan. And when it was completed, they couldn't move it. It was too big to move. So he moved his capital to Shushan. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the army of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. This party was 54 years after the destruction of the first temple. The children of Israel had been taken into slavery, and they had been moved to Persia. And everyone knew the prophecy that the temple would be rebuilt in 70 years. And he and Haman, Ahasuerus and Haman, made a calculation that was an error. And when they made the calculation, they thought the 70 years was over, and therefore the temple hadn't been rebuilt, and therefore the Jews were now going to be slaves forever. They would never be redeemed. And so he was celebrating, and the celebrations went on for 6 months. In every different area, every different province, it was at a different time. The last week of the parties was in Shushan. But the whole idea was they were celebrating the destruction of the Jews being slaves forever. And the sin of the Jews were that they went. And when they went in the party in Shushan, he brought out the booty from the temple, and he dressed in the clothing of the high priest. And the Jews didn't object. That was the sin that caused them to have the decree of destruction, as we will learn. Verse 4. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, 104 days. When these days were fulfilled, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, the castle, both great and small, for 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. There were hangings of white fine cotton, and blue bordered with cords of fine linen, and purple, upon silver rods and pillars of marble. The couches were of gold and silver, on a pavement of green and white, and shell and onyx marble. We printed on two sides of paper so that you wouldn't waste. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold, the vessels being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the bounty of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, For so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mihuman, Bizetha, Carbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zetar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that ministered in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. And the recording and the phone has been muted due to background noises. Yes, Anne.
So the scholars come up with any reason why the Jews didn't object when they saw the king dressed to die?
Yeah, they basically say it was business. They had been freed to do business, some of them. And when they wanted to do business, you don't let anything interfere with business. So if the king does something, you don't attack the king for doing it. But who is truly the king is Hashem. And it's an obligation of a Jewish soul to object to the belittling of Hashem. If someone is righteous and they are embarrassed or belittled in public, they are not to say anything. It's okay to belittle me, to belittle a human being. But if Hashem is belittled in any way, it is our obligation to stand up and say no. Ahasuerus the king to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the peoples and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command by the chamberlains. Therefore was the king of very wrath, and his anger burned in him. Vashti was the daughter of the previous king. Ahasuerus was a merchant who was very wealthy, and he purchased Vashti as his bride, which gave him lineage to become the king. She did not like him. He was uncouth, all kinds of descriptions. He asked her to come to his party in the nude so he could display her beauty. And she refused because it was immodest. She was a prince, a king's daughter. Verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men who knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. He was basically talking to the necromancers and to the Chaldeans, which were the astrologers, and so forth. And I did forget many things, but one thing I forgot to tell you. Anytime you see the words king without Ahasuerus' name, it's referring to Hashem. But that may not be true in the English, but in the Hebrew. I don't know how they translate it properly. And the text, the next, unto him was Karshina, Shetar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsina, and Mumukan, and seven princes of Persia and Media, who saw the king's face and sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, for as much as she has not done the bidding of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? If Memucan can answer before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the peoples that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will come abroad unto all women, to make their husbands contemptible in their eyes, when it will be said, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. And this day will be the princesses of Persia and Media, who have heard of the deed of the queen, say the like unto all the king's princes. So will there arise enough contempt and wrath. Welcome to the modern feminist. Verse 19. If it please the king, let there go forth a royal commandment to him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and that the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his kingdom, great though it be, all the wives will give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the word pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters to all the king's provinces, into every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should rule in his own house, and speak according to the language of his people. Before I go on to chapter 2, when we hear the name Haman, it's been tradition in most synagogues to stomp your feet or to bring groggers, which we do not have. But in the Kabbalistic minions, there's absolute quiet. And there is a name of God, one of the 72 names of God, which are the letters Kaf, He, and Taf. This name of God is actually a laser-like light that destroys negativity. And the Kabbalists meditate upon this name. You are free to do what you wish. There's no groggers, but you can stomp your feet. You can scream. Whatever you wish to do, but I would prefer if you meditated on the letters Kaf, He, Taf. Chapter 2. After these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was assuaged, he remembered Vashti, and that she had done, and what she had done, and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, let there be sought for the king young virgins, fair to look upon, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins into Shushan, the castle, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their ointments be given them. And let the maiden that pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. And this thing pleased the king, and he did so. There was a certain Jew in Shushan, the castle, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives that had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. This is what happened before Ahasuerus became king. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maiden was of beautiful form and fair to look on. And when her father and mother were dead, Mordecai took her for his own daughter. In other writings, in the Talmud, there's a discussion as to whether Esther was his cousin, was his adopted daughter, as it says here, or whether she was his bride and they were married. The ones who say she was his bride are referring to the reality that Esther and Mordecai were soulmates, but he had come to this earth about 30, 35 years before her. And therefore, it was not a marriage that was going to happen. It was set up that this situation would take place. But she could have been his cousin because her parents might have been Mordecai's cousin. So we really don't know the full relationship other than they were soulmates and that they are buried in Shushan together in the same crypt. I believe we're on 8. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was published, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan, the castle, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was taken into the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her her ointments with her portions, and the seven maidens who were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he advanced her and her maidens to the best place in the house of the women. Esther had not made known her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not tell it. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what would become of her. Now when the turn of every maiden was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that it had been done to her according to the law for the women, 12 months. For so were the days of their anointing accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other ointments of the women. When then the maiden came unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her, to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. Verse 14. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned into the second house of the women, to the custody of Shashgaz, the king's chamberlain, who kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and she were called by name. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tevet, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight, more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. And he made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the bounty of the king. And then the virgins were gathered together the second time, and Mordecai sat in the king's gate. Esther had not yet made known her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those that kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing became known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther told the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, and it was found to be so, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the chronicle before the king. As we go into chapter 3, you'll begin to question, in a royal court, if you save the king's life, don't you think that the reward would be given so that somebody would save the king's life again? Chapter 3. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. There's a code in this verse, because Agag was the king of Amalek that Saul did not kill, even though Samuel the prophet had told him God told him to kill Agag. So when it says he's an Agagite, it's really saying he's an Amalekite. And Amalek is a nation that we listened to on Saturday, three verses, that told us to remember what the Amalek did to us on the way, attacking the weak, the hungry, the faint of heart. And the sages have explained, the Kabbalah explains, that Amalek has the same gematria as the Hebrew word safek, which means doubts. And this is why God is at war with Amalek throughout the nation, throughout the generations, because God has no doubt. God is certain. Amalek resists the concept that there is a God and that his name is Hashem. And it goes even worse than that. But essentially, we read on Saturday the Torah to learn about Amalek and about the doubts, and to remember that we have to fight against Amalek, against doubts in our life. Am I in verse 2 or 1 for chapter 3? And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed down and prostrated themselves before Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not down, nor prostrated himself before him. Mordecai is a reincarnation of Jacob, the patriarch. Haman is a reincarnation of Esau, his twin brother. Jacob bowed to Esau 7 times when he returned to Israel, and that was a major sin that had to be corrected. When Mordecai refused to bow down, that corrected the sin of Jacob. Then the king's servants that were in the king's gate said unto Mordecai, "Why transgressest thou the king's commandment?" Now it came to pass, when they spoke daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down nor prostrated himself before him, then was Haman full of wrath. But it seemed contemptible in his eyes to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had made known to him that people of Mordecai were. Therefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. In the first month, which is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day, and from month to month, to the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse. From those of every people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it profits not the king to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have the charge of the king's business to bring it into the king's treasuries. 10,000 talents of silver is a significant amount of money today, let alone 2,500 years ago. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, "The silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seems good to thee." Then were the king's scribes called in the first month on the 13th day thereof, and there was written according to all that Haman commanded unto the king's satraps, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the princes of every people, to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written, and it was sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by posts into all the king's provinces, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month. That would be the 13th day of Adar. Today was the 13th day of Adar. We've now entered the 14th day. As it says, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. The copy of the writing to be given out for a decree in every province was to be published unto all peoples, that they should be ready against that day. The post went forth in haste by the king's commandment, and the decree was given out in Shushan the castle, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was perplexed. Chapter 4. Now when Mordecai knew all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. All of this is a description of mourning and also a description of teshuvah, repentance. And he came even before the king's gate, for none might enter within the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province whatsoever, the king's commandments and his decree came. There was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Verse 4, chapter 3, I believe. And Esther's maidens and her chamberlains came and told it her. And the queen was exceedingly pained. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take his sackcloth from off him. But he accepted it not. Then called Esther for Hatach, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and charged him to go to Mordecai to know what this was and why it was. So Hatach went forth to Mordecai, unto the broad place of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and the exact sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. How did Mordecai know what Haman had paid? Unless he was telepathic, which Mordecai was, according to the Torah, not the Torah, the Talmud, Mordecai, in addition to being a reincarnation of Jacob, was also the head of the Sanhedrin, which is the 70 judges that rule in court cases in Israel. He was the head, and to become the head, he had to speak all 70 languages. To become the head of the Sanhedrin, he had to be a Kabbalist, extremely skilled, and very connected, so that he would know things that without having a way to know them. Verse 8. And he gave him the copy of the writings of the decree that was given out in Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. And Hatach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke unto Hatach and gave him a message unto Mordecai. Verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is called, not called, there is one law for him, and that he be put to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai bade them to return answer unto Esther. Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all of the Jews. For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knows whether thou art not come to royal estate for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return answer unto Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Remember I said that Sarah was reincarnated into Esther. The sin that Sarah did happened in Egypt when she was taken by Pharaoh. She didn't want to go into the king, and she was forced. Here, by choice, Esther is correcting the sin of Sarah because she chose to risk her life by going into the king. I'm sorry? Sarah was forced to go into Pharaoh. But it was part of the plan of creation. And Sarah, being a prophetess, knew that. But still she resisted. Still she didn't go in, and it created problems in the flow of the plan of creation. So that sin, that mistake, had to be corrected by her reincarnation, Esther. And when she chose to risk her life, that's what the sin was. I hope it's clear. Verse 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. What Mordecai did was he returned to Jerusalem as head of the Sanhedrin to get the half shekel donations that was to be used for the rebuilding of the temple. But that's the money that he will use later on in the stories for redeeming the Jews. And that's why the Torah says it's a redemption for you to make a half-deaf shekel donation. Chapter 5. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the entrance of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? For whatever thy request, even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be given thee. And Esther said, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come in this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, and it may be done as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. If you look in verse 5, which is the hay, if you look on actually the next page with the finish of verse 5, the second letter is a yud. Then there is a hey as the first letter of the second word in that line. The vav is the third, and the hey is the fourth. That third word has both the vav and the hey, because they never separate from each other. And that's where you see Hashem's name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. That's the concealment, that this is how you reveal it. When is it being revealed? When it's talking about the banquet where Haman and Ahasuerus, the two enemies of the Jewish people, will ultimately be killed. Haman and his 10 sons, and eventually Ahasuerus dies right after this event. Verse 6. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, whatever thy petition, it shall be granted thee, and whatever thy request, even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. So there were two banquets, essentially. Then went Haman forth that day, joyful and glad of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, Haman was filled with wrath against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself and went home. And he sent and fetched his friend Zeresh, his wife. Zeresh was a witch, a very capable witch. And Haman recounted unto them the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children, and everything as to how the king had promoted him, and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. Haman said moreover, yea, Esther, the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself, and tomorrow also am I invited by her together with the king. Yet all this avails me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and in the morning speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Chapter 6. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, of those that kept the door, who had sought to lay hands on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, what honor and dignity has that been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outer court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman stands in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman said in his heart, whom would the king delight to honor besides myself? And Haman said unto the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, Let royal apparel be brought which the king uses to wear, and the horse that the king rides upon, and on whose head a crown royal is set. And let the apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man therewith whom the king delights to honor, and cause him to ride on the horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew, that sits at the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and caused him to ride through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor. These are all coincidences, aren't they? That Mordecai is in the gate, and Haman is walking in, just as the king's told that nothing was done to Mordecai when he saved his life. Simple coincidence. Or Hashem is working. Hashem is working. And you have to see how Hashem works, because he's working like that in your life. Wait, the plot thickens. And Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered, because the decree hadn't been rescinded. And Haman recounted unto Zeresh his wife, am I in the wrong place? And all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh his wife unto him, if Mordecai, before whom thou hast begun to fall, be of the seed of the Jews, thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. While they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains, and hastened to bring Haman unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. Chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of the wine, whatever thy petition, Queen Esther, it shall be granted thee. And of whatever thy request, even to the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwoman, I had held my peace. For the adversary is not worthy that the king be endamaged. Then spoke the king Ahasuerus and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he that presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, an adversary and an enemy, even this wicked Haman. Then Haman was terrified before the king and the queen. And the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman remained to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, will he even force the queen before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Another coincidence? What's the probability? Exactly. Then said Harbona, one of the chamberlains that were before the king, behold, also the gallows of 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who spoke good for the king, standing in the house of Haman. And the king said, hang him thereon. So he built his own gallows, 50 cubits high, which has a significant meaning. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath assuaged. But the decree is still in place. Chapter 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spoke yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet, and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Going back to the verse 2 on this page, remember when Rivka went and inquired of Hashem about the twins in her belly that were struggling and there was something wrong to her. And she was told by the prophet that there are two peoples and they will struggle. And when one is ascending, the other is in decline. And when the one in decline ascends, the other one declines. This is what you just saw in the relationship of Mordecai being put in charge of Haman's family, all of the people of Amalek. All of those doubts. Verse 4. Then the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. So Esther arose and stood before the king. And she said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews that are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Queen Esther, the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also concerning the Jews as it likes you, as you like, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded concerning the Jews, even to the satraps and the governors and the princes of the provinces, which are from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And they wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, and sealed it with the king's ring, and sent letters by posts on horseback, riding on swift steeds that were used in the king's service, bred of the stud, that the king had granted the Jews that they were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy and to slay and to cause to perish all the forces of the people and province that would assault them, their little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. You know how long this story took? If you calculate it, it's at one point it said it was 12 years into his reign, and it started in 2 years into his reign. And then the whole process took a total of 14 years, which is added to the 56 years when they calculated that the 70 years had passed when it happened. Verse 12. Upon one day in all the provinces of King, I read that one. Verse 13. The copy of the writing to be given out for a decree in every province was to be published unto all the peoples, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon swift steeds that were used in the king's service went out, being hastened and pressed on the king's commandment, and the decree was given out in Shushan the castle. And Mordecai went forth from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with a robe of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan shouted and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had gladness and joy, a feast and a good day, and many from among the peoples of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews was fallen upon them. Chapter 9. Now in the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near, to be put in execution to the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have rule over them. Whereas it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king, Ahasuerus, to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them was fallen upon all the peoples. And all the princes of the provinces and the satraps and the governors and they that did the king's business helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai was fallen upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went forth throughout all the provinces. For the man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and with slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto them that hated them. And in Shushan the castle the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. And Parshandata, and Dalphon, and Aspata, and Parata, and Adalia, and Aridata, and Pamashta and Arsai and Ardai and Vizaitha. The 10 sons of Haman, the sons of the son of Hammedata, the Jews' enemies, slew they, but on the spoil they laid not their hand. And in this, for these verses, 7, 8, and 9, are the 10 sons of Haman. But in the Hebrew, it's not on this page because they don't know about it. But in the scroll, there are three letters that are written small. Those three letters are Taf, Shin, Zion, which is the year 5707. And there is a documented writing in 1946, which is the year 5707. There were 10 Germans hung by the neck, having been convicted in the Nuremberg trials. And in the year 5706, which is 5707, the documentation is that one of the 10, as he was walking up the gallows, shouted out the words, Purim Fest. There's a third word which I forget, but essentially he announced that these 10 people, these 10 Nazis, were reincarnations of the 10 sons of Haman. And that has been documented, the description of their death in the statement that he made. The interpretation that they're reincarnated comes out of the Jewish world. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the castle was brought before the king. I was reading in the wrong place. This is verse 12. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the castle, and the 10 sons of Haman. What then have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now whatever thy petition, it shall be granted thee, and whatever thy request further, it shall be done. Then said Esther, if it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews that are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king commanded it so to be done, and a decree was given out in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And those that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day also of the month of Adar, and slew 300 men in Shushan, but on the spoil they laid not their hand. And the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies, and slew of them that hated them 75,000, and on the spoil they laid not their hand. On the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of gladness. But the Jews that were in Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore do the Jews of the villages that dwell in the unwalled towns make the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and fasting, and a good day, and ascending portions one to another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far. to enjoin them that they should keep the 14th day of the month of Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly. The days wherein the Jews had rest from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to gladness, and from mourning into a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and gladness, and of sending portions to one to another, and gifts to the poor. And the Jews took upon them to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hammedata, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is, the lot, to discomfort them, and to destroy them. But when she came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he had devised against the Jews, should return unto his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore they call these days Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and that which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail that they would keep these 2 days, according to the writing thereof, and according to the appointed time thereof every year, and that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abigail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote down all of the acts of power to confirm the second letter of Purim. And he sent letters out to all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their appointed times, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, and they had ordained for themselves and for their seed the matters of the fastings and their cry. And the commandments of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Chapter 10. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land, and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, how the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people, and seeking peace to all his seed. That is how the decree of death to the Jews was reversed. And in our generation, there are a significant number of Jewish people who did not die in the Shoah, and they have had children, and they have had grandchildren. And this is their revenge, our revenge. Purim Sameach, I have a caretaker who wants to visit with me, so I am excusing myself.